Live local talk. It's Tesh Matters on the voice of the Tesh. Kane Radio, New Iberia's only daily live call-in talk show.
Twenty-two minutes after 10 o'clock, our Mellow Joy Coffee Time. My pleasure to welcome another edition of Positively Iberia with Marty Harrell. Marty, how are you?
I'm doing great, Jeff. Are you hiding from us this morning?
Yeah, for some reason, the computer's not detecting my camera, even though I used it just a second ago on another app. But I'm going to try and figure it out.
While we go forward, right?
Exactly.
Oh, okay. Well, I just wondered. I thought maybe you had a bad hair day or something.
I always have bad hair days. I'm in my 50s. It's part of life, you know?
I understand. Well,
you're enjoying these hats.
Yeah. Well, are you enjoying this weather?
Absolutely. What's not to like about this, you know?
Really, huh? Can you smell the rue in the air?
Yeah, you'd think, huh?
Yeah, well, you know, we're going to be talking about that next week, a lot more about the rue. But today I decided to turn to the Farmer's Almanac because we need to celebrate this fall season. There's no doubt about that. And, you know, yesterday was the autumnal equinox. It arrived officially at 4:20 yesterday afternoon, our time. So we're still technically celebrating the first day of fall. Or for those down under in the southern hemisphere, it's the first day of spring. So, you know, the word equinox comes from the Latin meaning equal and night, and occurs precisely when the sun's center passes through the equator line. And after the autumnal equinox, days become shorter than nights as the sun continues to rise later and nightfall arrives earlier. This ends around December 21st, which is the winter solstice, and the days start to grow longer once again. And here's a fall science fun fact. The changes in the fall foliage doesn't occur due to cooling weather conditions. I learned this one. The leaves change color because of the decreasing amounts of daylight and photosynthesis. So, yeah, science. It's a good thing. And with that little bit of fall science trivia, let's move on to another important science, and that is something that's on our mind a lot these days, the science of medicine. Let's meet our guest on today's panel and get some voices to go with names. And full disclosure here before we start, for folks who are watching this video post-show, a couple of our guests are in the same room together today, but they're social distancing and they're fully vaccinated. But they're not wearing their mask, and that's good because we get to see their faces today. So, Dion, say hello.
Hello. Good morning.
And you are?
I'm Dion Viator, Chief Executive Officer of Iberia Medical Center.
Awesome. And welcome, Dr. Tyler. Give us a voice to go with that pretty face we're looking at.
Hey, good morning. Thank you for having us.
Give us just a little quickie.
Yeah, sure. So I'm Tyler Hebert. I'm joining Dr. Mata, Kuzan, and Maynard over here at the family medicine clinic in the office building next to the hospital.
And a new doc for our hospital. Awesome. And good morning, Brennan, from your office.
Good morning, Marty. Happy to be here today. My name is Brennan LeBlanc. I'm Director of Cancer Services here at Iberia Medical Center, and I've been here for 25 years.
Awesome. Now, our first guest, Dion Viator, is no stranger to Positively Iberia. In fact, she was just with us in mid-July celebrating the Chamber's special recognition of Dr. Moses Chittakulli. She's Iberia Medical Center's Chief Executive Officer, and besides keeping things on track at IMC, we're proud to say that she's a member of the board of directors of our Greater Iberia Chamber of Commerce. But today, she's here to bring us a little update from IMC. So take it away, Ms. Dion.
Yes, I get asked often for a COVID update. And today, I actually have positive news about that. This morning, in talking with Dr. Tina Stefanski, she said in our region, Region 4, there are 135 hospitalized COVID-19 patients in our region. We have 20 of those patients here at the hospital, and only 4 of those patients on a vent. That is much improved from the almost 50 patients we had in August. So we are seeing fewer and fewer COVID inpatient admissions, and so that is helping us quite a bit. We have, you know, begun. We had stopped our surgeries at the North Campus to try to focus on the inpatient care here and the heavy demand at the main campus. But earlier this week, we were able to begin that again as well. We're looking at the positivity in our community, which what that is our lab takes the total number of patients that we test. And then that's the denominator, the numerator, going back to science here, the numerator is the positives. When we look back in June, our positivity rate for all of the lab tests we did here at the hospital was 7%. We peaked in August at 32% of our patients that we tested here at the hospital. And that was a significant number. In the month of August, we tested 2,900 patients, and 32% of them were positive. Of course, not all of them were admitted, but that just showed the frequency of it in the community. Right now, we're down to about a 20% positivity so far this month, and we've only done 1,100 tests. So the demand for tests is down a little bit, and our positivity is down a little bit. So we're hoping that this is a new trend. We had been told originally to expect a peak of COVID in October, but that's before the mask mandate and other things. So, you know, that looks like our peak. We're hopeful that we have seen that in August, early September, and we're headed into a more positive territory. Here at the hospital, we also continue daily with our monoclonal infusion. We've talked before about that. That is an outpatient treatment for people at high risk who have are COVID positive, so that we can give them an infusion of those antibodies to keep them out of the hospital, healthy and out of the hospital. We are doing those on a daily basis, and we think that's making a significant impact for our community. One of the other updates I have for you is some new technology that we are bringing as it relates to COVID testing in our lab here at the hospital. So in the past, we've had many people ask about antibody testing. So how do I know if I have the antibody? We do have tests today that can test for the antibody, but it's only a test that detects the natural acquisition of the virus. So only if you previously had COVID-19, and it was a test that told you yes or no, positive or negative. You have the antibody or you don't. This is similar to what all of the testing has been in our community and throughout the nation. However, we have new testing available, and we are now doing the validation process. We'll put it live in about 2 weeks that will test for antibodies, whether it is from natural acquisition that you've had COVID-19 directly, or if you've had the vaccine and if you have the antibody from the vaccine. And these aren't just tests that say, yes, no, you have the antibody. They give you a numerical quantitative number compared to a benchmark, letting you know what your vaccine antibody level is. So some new testing that's state of the art coming out. We'll pull it out in about 2 weeks. We'll be able to begin administering that test. So I know there are a lot of people that are curious about whether they have that antibody level. And I'm sure smart people like Dr. Hebert and physicians needing to order that test down the road are going to have different scientific uses for that. But I think one that comes top of mind to me right now is just a lot of curiosity for people as well. So I wanted to make sure I mentioned that this new testing.
That's good. That's kind of like the 23andMe kind of thing, that curiosity, what's your DNA and what's your antibody count, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So we're pleased to be able to move that forward. Some other advancements that we've made here at the hospital related to COVID. is we've completed all of our negative pressure rooms. When COVID started, hospitals had very few negative pressure rooms. The importance of a negative pressure room is instead of air circulating within a hospital, the air goes into the room and is released away from the hospital, away from any other airborne, anything that may be airborne coming back into the hospital. It's a purification system. Hospitals had very few rooms like that. They were initially built for patients with TB, chickenpox, things like that that may have been a previous airborne disease. So we had three rooms that were negative pressure in the hospital. Today we've completed 50. So
wow.
We have one of the COVID patients that are in negative pressure rooms, and we've had that from the beginning. We did it through temporary measures, renting negative pressure machines, but now we have expanded our capability to 50 negative pressure rooms to keep our patients, our staff, our physicians, the community safe. So very pleased about that. We think that because we implemented that so early in the COVID process, we really have had very, very few staff get COVID. Today, we only have two of our employees out of our almost 900 employees out with COVID. So I'm very pleased about that, with our facilities being as safe as they are.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And any update on what's going on at the North Campus?
Absolutely. So we are still continuing to work on the opening of an emergency room at the North Campus. The emergency room there will provide 24/7 physician care. So it will be the same physicians that you know and love in our main campus will be rotating through our North Campus, same nursing staff, 24/7. Eight newly renovated emergency room beds. We are going to, as a part of that, add 24-hour respiratory therapy there, 24-hour radiology there, 24-hour-a-day lab there as well. So we are targeting an opening towards the end of 2021. We have a lot of moving parts right now, though. We have construction underway. If you drive by the campus, you'll see that. We have the contractors there being there a little longer than we initially anticipated because of supply shortages and a lot of the different things that were needed to finish that construction.
Yeah, so that welcome to our world, right?
Right, a surprise. So that's going to be a little bit longer than anticipated. And, of course, with COVID, making sure that we have the appropriate levels of staffing and then get the Louisiana Department to come in and inspect before we open. So we have a timeline that is not set in stone right now because there are so many things outside of our specific control, but our target is still by the end of 2021. Very excited to do that. And, you know, with COVID, I think it's only reinforced the community need for that additional access to care here in our parish.
Awesome. Anything else before we move on?
I think that's all right now. Thank you.
Oh, well, that's plenty. That's a lot. I always love that I learn about, I think I know things are going on, but it's always fun to learn from the source of what is really going on. That's great. Well, yeah. And thanks again for your time. Now we've been, proud to talk about our boomerang, professionals here on Positively Iberia over the last several weeks. But in case you missed the definition, a boomerang professional, especially in this case, is one who left home to get a great education and training, but has chosen to return to their hometown to share it. And Dr. Ronald Tyler Hebert, family medicine physician, is doing just that. He's a native of Generet, born at IMC. He's the son of Corrine and Ronald Hebert and the godson of Dr. Jimmy Falterman, Catholic High grad, ULL grad. Dr. Hebert joins the practices of Drs. Mata, Kuzan, and Menard, and he received his medical degree from LSU Health Sciences Center in New Orleans and completed his residency at LSU University Hospital and Clinics in Lafayette. Dr. Hebert is a member of the American Academy of Family Physicians and the Louisiana Academy of Family Physicians. So he's definitely a positively Iberia person, doctor, for sure. So, Dr. Hebert, Dr. Tyler, may we call you Dr. Tyler?
Absolutely.
Okay, great. On behalf of the Positively Iberia Nation, we'd like to welcome you home, but please tell us more about yourself.
Yeah, thank you for that introduction, Ms. Morty. I'm happy to be back home. Some other things about me. I'm married to Allison Corville, the daughter of George and Nadine Corville. We have three children under five, Livy, Julia, and Samuel. And it's wonderful to be back where we all grew up and had a great upbringing and experience in the community of New Iberia. Couldn't be more excited and more grateful to be joining the practice that I have with Drs. Mata, Kuzan, Maynor, with all the emergency situations with COVID. I know it's been a lot of issues for people to get access to just the healthcare they needed even prior to COVID. So I'm coming at a time where I think it's important that people remember that even despite the ongoing emergency, there's still plenty of preventative things that are important to keep up with. And I'm here to help offer that. And I'm just excited to be able to walk with people from, we called it in a residency, from womb to tomb, taking care from the newborn to the day you die. And there's a lot that goes on in life. And there's a unique niche that a family physician can provide and walk with you in those times when it becomes difficult and you're not sure where to turn. And I'm just looking forward to the opportunity to be here and offer my services to the community.
It's interesting that you mentioned that, Dr. Tyler, about the family practice medicine is your first point of contact to your medical care. You're the one that really kind of knows what's going on, whole body type of situation. So when something springs up that needs other treatment, you know where and how to take us down that path, right?
Yeah, that's right. And I think people would be surprised at how much a family physician can handle in their own office prior to ever needing to refer out, whereas a lot of people have a lot of specialists, and then later in life, the specialists are like, well, who's your primary care doctor? And I said, well, I don't have one. I'm a healthy person. So it's important to establish that relationship before you need a family physician in an emergency situation, because it's not always easy to get established. And then, you know, a lot of these things that you wait on could have been prevented had you had that relationship and had the expertise of a family physician to help guide you in your preventative services.
And help discover all of those things that you need to take action before you have to take action, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. Well, you have anything else you'd like to add today? Because I know that we've got all kinds of other interesting scientific things going on at the hospital, but certainly we want you to have your opportunity to share with our community, with your hometown.
Sure. Yeah, just thank you again for having me. I'm grateful to be home. And if anybody needs appointments, we're still taking them 5 days a week at 367-0271. Give us a call.
There you go. Say, always got to know how to get in touch with you. And
right.
That's great. Especially in these days and times, because like you said, you never know when and what is going to come up. So now we've talked about someone new to the staff. Now we're going to talk with someone who brings a legacy of over 25 years of service to Iberia Medical Center, our pharmacist, Brendan LeBlanc. And interestingly enough, we talked about Dr. Tyler being a Generette native. Well, we're going to cover the other side of the parish because Brendan was born and raised in Delcom. So, you know, we're keeping up our promise to the community that we're going to reach out to the whole parish here in Positively Iberia. Now, during his tenure on IMC, He served as director of pharmacy and vice president of physician support services, but has recently taken over a new role as director of cancer services for the Cancer Center of Iberia, Cancer Center of Acadiana, let me get that right, at Iberia Medical Center and the Infusion Center of IMC. He holds a BS in pharmacy from UL Monroe and an MS in Health Services Administration from the University of St. Francis. He and his wife, Susan, have two children. He loves to hunt and fish, and he was happy to report to me that his family's happy place, their fishing camp down in Grand Isle, suffered no damage during Hurricane Ida. That was amazing. And Brennan, you have to tell us how that you managed to do that. But also understand that you have lots to share with us from the IMC report. So the floor is yours.
Well, good. I'm glad to be here. I appreciate the introduction. Yes, I've been in this current role as director of cancer services for the past 6 months. Prior to that, I was the director of pharmacy and did a lot of work with our Cancer Center of Acadiana and with our Infusion Center, and recognized a huge opportunity for growth. And Dion approached me to take on that challenge to try to grow those services. And so back in April, I did accept the position and started that new role, and very excited, very very happy to do that. And we have a relationship, a collaborative relationship with Ochsner Lafayette General, and we share resources, and that allowed us to have the Cancer Center of Acadiana here at Iberia Medical Center inside of our medical office building. And with that, back in 2019, we recruited Dr. George Constantino. He was the first, he was the oncologist that started with the Cancer Center of Acadiana, and he has been a tremendous asset to our medical staff and to our community. And with that, with the services that he provided, and with him being so busy, we were able to, with his help, able to recruit a second oncologist, and we're very happy to introduce Dr. Mahadiga to our staff. He started at the beginning of this month, and he's going to be providing services in our medical office building in Suite 200 with Dr. Constantino. Both have extensive training in oncology. Dr. Constantino trained in New York. He got all of his training in New York, and Dr. Mahadiga did most of his training. He has two fellowships, one in Virginia and one in Tennessee, and has done extensive research with MD Anderson. So we're very excited about what he can provide and what he can complement with Dr. Constantino.
That's great. Well, explain, Dion mentioned the antibody infusion. And then we talk about the infusion center. There may be a little bit of confusion. Would you like to maybe address the what goes on where and why?
Yes, sure. So in our infusion center, which is located in our medical office building on the third floor, we do a lot of oncology infusions, mostly oncology infusions. We do take other disease states, Crohn's disease, ulcerative colitis, and whatnot. We do antibacterial infusions in there. But for our COVID patients that are getting the monoclonal antibody, we do have an infusion center located next to our ER, and the patients do come in from the outside straight into the infusion center located next to the ER. They don't mingle with any other patients in the hospital, and they don't come up to our main infusion center to mingle with those immunocompromised patients.
I think that's important that we stress that, because that's definitely two populations that you don't want in the same room together at the same time.
That's correct. That's correct. Yeah.
So just a little thing kind of off the subject, but I think some of our listeners might be wondering about that doesn't have to do with the hospital, but it has to do with that camp in Grand Isle. Because I know I'm curious about it. Okay, so the pictures we saw were like total devastation of the island. Tell us about how your camp survived.
Oh, we're on the east end of the island, so the eye wall, we think, passed more to the west side of the island, and like we talked earlier, I think a lot of it had to do with construction. It's post-Katrina construction, new codes and regulations, so I think that we were very lucky fortunate, blessed to have that happen to us. So.
Yeah, as I say, it's a little off topic, but, you know, a little curiosity. So anything else you want to share with us about the Infusion Center and the Cancer Center?
Yeah, so, you know, once again, we're excited about Cancer Center of Acadiana. We feel that that's a service that this community really needs. You know, we always talk about bigger is better, but in this case, bigger is not better. We want patients to feel that they can get convenient, compassionate care close to home. And we have what we consider two world-class physicians that have been trained to handle oncology. And we feel that this service is going to be an absolute home run for the hospital and for the community.
Awesome. And would you be interested in sharing any updates that you're aware of with regard to vaccinations? Or, Dion, if you have any numbers or anything like that that you'd like to share with us?
Well, so this morning we did get some information with the concerning the booster shot. Once again, it's still not FDA approved. However, they did mention in an emergency use authorization that they will be allowing the booster shot for patients over 65 and still immunocompromised patients, and of course those people that work in healthcare facilities or any place where you would have increased chance of infection. But once again, that's not FDA approved, and it's still only an emergency use authorization that you should be seeing a lot more of that in the news probably today and the next.
Yeah, again, just an update in case we got something this morning. I thought it might be a good thing to bring it forward. Okay, anything else?
Marty, I think, you know, we are so blessed. This is Dion, to have Brennan step up into this cancer services role. You know, traditionally hospitals provide cancer services to patients in our radiology department, in our physician offices, in our lab. Some patients need infusions, some patients need surgery, and it was compartmentalized in many hospitals. So Brennan's role is to work with our physicians to focus on what services we need for people right here at home, and then work to help the patient navigate those services in a way that they understand what their next step is, they understand their options, and they feel comfortable about the services that they need to get. So one of the first things that we did is invest, you and I've talked about it before, in 3D mammography, which is state-of-the-art, high-tech, detects easily more than 20% of lesions, is more comfortable for women, less painful. And so that is from early detection. But Brennan's role is just not only from early detection, but working with the medical oncologist, working with our surgeons, our breast surgeons. Dr. O'Brien has been very involved with that. And working with Dr. Chittakuli to the lung cancer and how do we proceed and help the community in that as well. So it is a far-reaching role kind of from wing to make sure that the focus is on the patient when they need it most. When they get that diagnosis, no one wants to hear. Brennan, I know appreciate all that you're doing. We've got the right person leading that for Iberia Parish.
Well, I love the fact that we here in Iberia Parish are getting stronger and smarter and have more services right here at home. You know, I think I've mentioned this before on Positively Iberia, being a senior adult in Iberia Parish with virtually no family here. It's very important that I have the services that I need that will be convenient for my husband to be able to come see me or help transport me or whatever happens to be. And having all of these services right here within just literally a few miles from our home rather than having to travel hours makes a big, big difference. So, yes, this is all good news, definitely, for the citizens of Iberia Parish.
It is, and I appreciate you letting us share this because we really do have physicians right here in the parish that are second to none, and the community needs to know that.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. There is no doubt about that. Well, before I move into the fun things that are going on in the parish, any last thoughts from you guys?
I just want to reiterate what Dion said. We're excited about cancer care here in Iberia Parish. And we think Lisa is doing a tremendous job with our marketing campaign. And we just want to, you know, it's convenient and it's close to home. And that's what and compassionate. And that's what we're gonna market this as. And we feel that it'll be a home run.
Awesome. Dion?
Well, thank you again for your time. We're doing so many enhancements, so much moving forward. September 30th is the hospital's fiscal year end, so it is New Year's Eve for us, September 30th, and New Year's Day is October 1st, and so I look forward as we go into our new fiscal year, sharing additional exciting technology and clinical advancements moving forward. So I look forward to talking with you again, and I really would like Brennan, as Dr. Madigat continues to get his feet on the ground here, be able to come on and talk to you a little bit about our continued advancements in cancer services.
Absolutely. And it's year 61, is that right, or is it two already?
61.
Not- okay, see, I thank you, Lisa. I hear Lisa there. 61, yeah. It's okay. We all have producers, okay? or as I refer to it, co-drivers.
Absolutely.
No doubt. And Dr. Tyler, any last words?
Yeah, just that, like Ms. Dion said, there's plenty of great physicians and services here in New Iberia. You don't have to go all the way to Lafayette to get great care. A lot of the bigger places get, the harder it is to find good, compassionate care. And I think you'll find that right here at home.
Awesome. Awesome. I totally agree. You won't find anything different coming from my direction for sure. Okay, so we're going to talk about some fun stuff. We talked about science and all the advancements in science, but gee, there's a lot of stuff going on right now that's lots of fun. And since it's officially fall, that means that Halloween is just around the corner. So Mark Beyonce and the New Iberia Decorated Facebook page is hosting a Halloween home and yard contest for those of us who live and work in 70560 and 70563 zip codes. And it's free to enter. The judging will be held October 21 through 24th, and the winner will be announced on October 27th. Their prizes will include a professional photo of your home taken by Lee Ball Photography. And if you or your business would like to sponsor or donate a prize, you can just text Mark at 337-256-1938. There's a quick update from the Iberia Crime Stoppers auction. There's only a week to go. Time's a ticking for that. There are currently 52 items up for bid. And have y'all seen the autographed sports memorabilia that's on the auction? If that happens to twirl your prop, or even speaking of twirling your prop, Discovery Flight from Owens Flight Service is there too. You can check it all out at biddingforgood.com/Iberia Crime Stoppers. Remember, the funds raised here help to assist law enforcement in taking crime off of our streets. And don't forget that iPal's A Gentleman's Guide to Love and Murder takes the stage tomorrow night, Friday, Saturday, and a Sunday matinee, then again Thursday, Friday, Saturday evenings, and Sunday matinee next week. You make sure also to check out the newly remodeled marquee, renovated marquee, on iPal's S&E Theater around the corner from the radio station. You can get tickets online at iPalTheater.com. And the You Are Wonderful that we talked with last week, the Unity in the Community picnic is this Saturday from 11 to 5. What a beautiful time for a picnic at the West End Park. There's music, food, games, and fun, and it only costs, as Miss Felicia said, It only costs a smile and a kind word, so check it out. We'll talk more about the details of stuff that's going on with the gumbo cook-off, but don't forget that next week, of course, but don't forget that volunteers are needed for the 31st Annual World Championship Gumbo Cook-Off, Saturday, October 9th, and Sunday the 10th. You can contact Martha Gerard at 337-967-2034 to find out about what they need and the hours that you can participate. And tickets to this year's Sacebon cooking demonstration and dinner during the Gumbo Cook-Off, which will be held at Victor's Cafeteria on Saturday of the Gumbo Cook-Off, the 9th, are currently on sale on the Chamber's website, iberiachamber.org/gumbo-cook-off. And with that, next week's Positively Iberia is all about the Gumbo Cook-Off. Our panel will include Thomas Falgu, the CEO of the Chamber, with what you can expect. Gerald Gerning from KLFY's Acadiana Eats series, who will be the host of the aforementioned cooking demonstration and dinner event, will be on to talk about that. And Jonathan Norris of Norris International will be there with their gumbo team's perspective of the competition. And, of course, you can always get the details, find out what's coming up in our programming and lots of other announcements, too, by giving our Positively Iberia Facebook page a like and follow. Later today, we'll share an In Case You Missed It post with the video peek behind the curtain of today's Zoom panel and links to the things we mentioned today. And don't forget, the past segments are archived on our Facebook page video tab. But if audio only is your preference, you can just surf on over to the Kane1240.com website, find us there, and play both of these on demand. Special thanks again to Dion Vietar, Dr. Tyler Hebert, and Brennan LeBlanc, all from our Iberia Medical Center, for taking time out to be our guest on Positively Iberia today. We really appreciate y'all. Positively Iberia is produced by the Greater Iberia Chamber of Commerce in cooperation with Tesh Matters here on Kane 107.5 FM and AM 1240. Our promotional partner, News 15 KDNKLEF, and underwritten by the First National Bank of Generet. In closing, most of us have heard of the Hippocratic Oath that many medical students take a modern version of upon graduation and receiving their MD. But the philosopher Hippocrates is also credited with a statement that certainly could apply across all facets of healthcare because, quote, wherever the art of medicine is loved, there is also a love of humanity. So, stay well, stay safe, enjoy the gumbo weather. We'll see you next Thursday, and remember, it's only getting better.